Hawaii made its name as a visitor destination by appealing to the middle-class traveler, the family on a budget looking for an affordable rental car and hotel two-week package. Jet air travel made it all possible, and the numbers went up and have, for the most part, stayed up ever since. But today's visitor has an average income of $135,000, and the industry is changing accordingly. Wayne Yoshioka has been following the shift all week at the 2017 Global Tourism Conference, and he's with us in our studio. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, Chris. You know, we had a record year last year, 9 million visitors and almost $16 billion in spending.
Yeah.
And they say next year will be even better. And I think there's a big shift right now, like you said. You know, they're shifting to the more affluent, richer tourist. And I think that is a different gameplay in terms of we're not looking at the number of visitors anymore. We're looking on how much they spent. And I think I talked to Rick Reed, who's the Hawaii Tourism Authority chair, and this is what he said.
The average tourist that is coming here has an income of $135,000. So it's a very high-end type of tourist, and they're able to spend on hotels and the food, because so many people find that the dining experience is one of the three or four main reasons they want to take a trip anywhere.
The Pacific Culinary Institute,
yeah,
opening up at Kapiolani Community College, and you know, everything's rolling toward that richer, more affluent tourist. And look at the international marketplace. I mean, that's a whole
very different from the Waikiki, the international marketplace. Any exemplar of tourism you might think of is radically changed from what, you know, what we grew up with, right?
Back in the old days, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the per-person visitor spending is up as far as the U.S. West, U.S. East, as well as Japan, and they're looking at more affluent travelers there. When you hear statistics like there are 100 million millionaires in China, and, well, not so much these days. I mean, a millionaire, they're not as big as they used to be, but they have 86 million billionaires, and I think that's what they're going for.
Well, it's sort of, you know, there are a lot of people are going to say, well, that leaves me out, right? and Waikiki is, you know, the whole face of the visitor industry seems to be really changing, adapting to that, because the numbers can't really get too much higher without reaching a saturation point, so you have to hope that each one of them brings more money, right?
And I think the whole industry is also shifting with that, and even the airlines are getting on board. Eric Takahata, who's the managing director of Hawaii Tourism Japan, said this.
You look at what the airlines are doing. Hawaiian Airlines, JAL, ANA, all the legacy carriers. They're cutting down on their economy class seats. So we're seeing a shift now into affluent, super wealthy travelers. And we should be concerned about spending, not so much about how many heads in beds we get, how many people are here. We are concerned very much more on raising spending.
Wayne, I wonder if some of those heads in beds might, you know, as time goes on, there are people who have come to Hawaii every year. You know, there are families who go to, say, at the Outrigger in Waikiki. They say, we've been coming every year. You know, this is our place. They know the people at the hotel. They feel very much at home. Are they going to feel excluded by this whole push toward people who've got more money than they do?
I don't think so. I think, you know, they're looking at the whole experience. Like Japan Airlines just started a reservice to Kona. And I think they're looking at the whole generation. 64% of Japanese that get married outside of Japan come to Hawaii. So they get married here, then they have children, and now they go to Kona. Guess what? A lot of their children have never seen the stars. And they go up to Mauna Kea, they look at the stars, they see the sunset over Mauna Loa, and it's a totally different family experience. And so, you know, it's there's something for everybody, I think.
You mean they live in the cities, so the light pollution makes it impossible to see the sky at night?
I guess so. That's what the Japan Airlines says. And, you know, it's really sad that you grow up and never seeing the stars.
It's breaking my heart.
Right? Well, a lot of people don't see turquoise oceans either. So
yeah.
I think there's a lot for everyone to come here.
But, you know, Wayne, it's always the, you know, and one thing that surfaced in a number of discussions is the fragility of the visitor industry, of the visitor experience, that it wouldn't take much to spook tourists, as we saw during the first Gulf War, where a perception was created that people should not come to Hawaii, and it really hurt the visitor industry. even though you know, we here who live here were trying to mitigate that and, you know, tell the Japanese, no, it's okay. But it didn't work, did it?
Well, you know, the former or the retired CEO of Outrigger, David Carey, he used to say that, you know, the job of us hotel operators is to raise the price until nobody comes and lower it only if we have to. And so they're going to raise the prices no matter what, and they're going to, you know, push it to the limit.
I'm not sure a lot of visitors would be thrilled to hear that. I'm really surprised by a comment like that. You can see it from the point of view of wanting to make money, but budget travelers need not apply is what it sounds like, Wayne.
Well, we'll see what the Airbnb crowd does in the future.
Well, that's an ongoing discussion. I mean, that, you know, from the industry point of view, it seems as if there's a conflict in our future, especially as the TAT debate goes on.
Well, we have the Airbnb come while they're still college students, and when they become affluent, I guess they'll appeal to the more affluent person that said, hey, you came here as an Airbnb tourist. Here, stay at our place for $500 a night.
We'll see how that works. Thanks very much, Wayne.
Thank you.
Wayne Yoshioka is HPR's government reporter.